Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Listen up because there's some really important news coming out that you may not have heard about, but I'm about to tell you about it. And it is how one Ukrainian billionaire funded Hunter Biden, President Volodymyr Zelensky, and the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion, and by Kanekawa the Great. Very interesting. It says, is this why Hunter Biden's laptop talks about children burned alive in Ukraine? Well, I didn't hear about that, and I don't know if you heard about that, but that is pretty frightening, if true. The real person who was the benefactor to and the boss of Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, at the Ukrainian gas company Burisma Holdings was not the CEO of Burisma Holdings, Mykola Zelensky, but it was instead Ihor Kolomysky, who was part of the newly installed Ukrainian government, which the Obama administration itself had actually just installed in Ukraine, in what the head of the private CIA firm Stratfor correctly called the most blatant coup in history, and that's in quotes. Shortly after the Obama administration's Ukrainian coup on March 2, 2014, Kolomysky, who supported Yanukovych's overthrow, was appointed the governor of Dnepropetrovsk, D-N-E-P-R-O-P-E-T-R-O-V-S-K, Ukraine. Hunter Biden, with no experience in the industry of region, would join in Kolomysky's Burisma Holdings 2 months later on May 12, 2014. A 2012 study of Burisma Holdings done in the Ukraine by the Anti-Corruption Action Center, ANTAC, an investigative nonprofit co-funded by American billionaire George Soros and the United States State Department, found that the true owner of Burisma Holdings was none other than Ukrainian billionaire oligarch Ihor, that's L-H-O-R, Komolsky, K-O-L-O-M-O-Y-S-K-Y. Of course, being in America, we're not familiar on the pronunciations of these foreign names, but do the best we can. The study, which was funded to dig up corruption on the Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych, instead found that the Kolomysky managed to seize the largest reserves of natural gas in Ukraine. And that's in quotes. Burisma Holdings changed owners in 2011 when it was taken over by an offshore Cyprus enterprise called Brakti Investments Limited, and subsequently moved addresses under the same roof, oh, here we go again, as Ukrnaftobrynja. And I will spell that for you. Ukrnaftobrynja. And Eskopivnich. Two Ukrainian gas companies, which happened to be also owned by Kolomisky, threw offshore entities in the British Virgin Islands. Oleg Kanovets, who worked as CEO of Ukrnaftobrynja, confirmed Kolomisky as the owner of Burisma Holdings in the 2012 report, saying, quote, "The private group is the immediate owner. This company was founded by Mykola Zlovesky some time ago, but he later sold his shares to the private group." And private does not have an E on the end. In other words, Hunter Biden's boss and benefactor at Burisma Holdings is the same Ukrainian billionaire oligarch who also claimed the position of boss and benefactor over Volodymyr Zelensky before he became president. Did you get that one? In other words, Hunter Biden's boss and benefactor at Burisma Holdings is the same Ukrainian billionaire oligarch who also claimed the position of boss and benefactor over Volodymyr Zelensky before he became president. Kolomisky owns One Plus One Media Group. Kolomisky, who currently holds a net worth of $1.8 billion, making him the 1,750th richest person in the world, owns holdings in metal, petroleum, and the media sector, where he has had a long history with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. For years, Zelensky's company produced shows for Kolomisky's TV network, One Plus One Media Group, one of the largest media conglomerates in the Ukraine. Zelensky achieved national fame portraying a president on a hit television sitcom that was called Servant of the People, which was broadcasted on a channel owned by Kolomisky. They should bring that show to America, Servant of the People, because our public servants have the American people serving them, and instead of them doing the will of the American people, they are forcing the American people to do their will and that of their masters on Wall Street. In 2019, Kolomisky's media channels gave a big boost to Zelensky's presidential campaign, while Kolomisky even provided security lawyers and vehicles for Zelensky during his campaign. Kolomisky's bodyguard and lawyer accompanied Zelensky on the campaign trail as Zelensky was chauffeured around in a Range Rover owned by one of Kolomisky's companies. The Pandora Papers showed that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and his TV production partners were beneficiaries of a web of offshore firms created in 2012. That's when Obama was re-elected. And that's when mainstream media, liberal media, aired that Obama won long before the polls even closed. Anyway, 2012 is the same year Zelensky's production company entered into a deal with Kolomisky's media group, which allegedly received $41 million in funds from Kolomisky's private bank. Zelensky's political rival, President Petro Poroshenko, commented on their connection during the campaign trail. Quote, "Fate intended to put me together with Kolomisky's puppet in the second round of the election," unquote. After Zelensky's victory, Kolomisky, who had spent the last few years living between Israel and Switzerland, returned to the Ukraine to keep up his relationship with the new president, nominating over 30 lawmakers to Zelensky's newly established party and maintaining influence with many of them in parliament. Kolomisky's funds, the Azov, A-D-A-R, A-I-D-A-R, and Dnipro, D-N-I-P-R-O, battalions. Igor Kolomisky has been a top funder of the Azov battalion since it was formed in 2014. He has also bankrolled private militias like the Dnipro and Adar battalions and has personally deployed them to protect his financial interests. Now, 2014 was when they hired Hunter Biden for Burisma. Al Jazeera. Before becoming part of Ukraine's armed forces, who funded Azov? The unit received backing from Ukraine's interior minister in 2014. 2014 was a very important year. As the government had recognized its own military was too weak to fight off the pro-Russian separatists and relied on parliamentary volunteer forces. These forces were privately funded by oligarchs, the most known being Igor Kolomisky, an energy magnate, billionaire, and then governor of the Dnipropetrovsk region. So you'll have to bear with me on these names. Newsweek. Groups of right-wing Ukrainian nationalists are committing war crimes in the rebel-held territories of eastern Ukraine, according to a report from Amnesty International, as evidence emerged in local media of the volunteer militias beheading their victims. That is so sick and disgusting. Beheading their victims. Armed volunteers who refer to themselves as the Adar Battalion have been involved in widespread abuses, including abductions, unlawful detention, ill treatment, theft, extortion, and possible executions, Amnesty International said. What's interesting is that we hear about all these other countries, third world countries, who abuse and mistreat prisoners, even if they're their own citizens. But it appears to be happening to Americans who were arrested for being at the January 6th assembly because of unknown reasons so far. Reuters. As to why these Americans have been arrested and treated as if they are in a third world country and thrown into a hellhole, according to our congressional members who finally were able to visit them and seeing how mistreated they were. And I read, and it's alleged, that even one of the American prisoners died. That should never happen in America. Reuters. Some of Ukraine's private battalions have blackened the country's international reputation with their extremist views. That's interesting about extremist views because you have a division of people who are on the right or the left, and then you have this minority who are in the middle on the fence in governments and supporters. And the right calls the left extremists, and the left calls the right extremists. Some of Ukraine's private battalions have blackened the country's international reputation with their extremist views. The Azov Battalion, partially funded by Taruda and Kolomisky, uses the Nazi Wolf's Angel, which is a symbol, as its logo. Many of its members openly espouse neo-Nazi anti-Semitic views. The battalion members have spoken about bringing the war to Kiev and said that Ukraine needs a strong dictator to come to power who could shed plenty of blood but unite the nation in the process. Has bloodshed ever united a nation? Because every nation is divided. And that's because every individual person has a different mindset, listens to different rhetoric, propaganda, news, media, reads different articles, listens to different talk show hosts. And so there will never be where the entire world comes together during this time in history. And if it no one pushes the nuke in the future and they don't depopulate 90% of the population in the future, then the only time there's going to be peace restored upon the earth is when Jesus Christ returns and takes out all the bad guys and renews the earth. It will be restored eventually. Kolomisky's battalions shell civilians in Donbass. The Luhansk and Donetsk regions comprise a larger region together as Donbass, known together as Donbass. In May 2014, shortly after the Obama administration's maiden coup, the two regions held a referendum on seceding from the Ukraine, in which 96% of Luhansk and 89% of Donetsk voted for the creation of two new independent entities in eastern Ukraine. And on that note, we're going to take a break, and I will be back in just a moment, so don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. And by the way, if you are or you know someone who is a line cook, you might want to call the Horseshoe Cafe and Bakery in Benson, Arizona. Great, great landmark restaurant with home cooking food. And on that note, let's get back to how one Ukrainian billionaire funded Hunter Biden, President Volodymyr Zelensky, and the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion. Newsweek, groups of right-wing Ukrainian nationalists are committing war crimes in the rebel-held territories of eastern Ukraine, according to a report from Amnesty International, as evidence emerged in local media of the volunteer militias beheading their victims. Armed volunteers who refer to themselves as the Adar Battalion have been involved in widespread abuses, including abductions, unlawful detention, ill treatment, theft, extortion, and possible executions, Amnesty International said. The Adar Battalion is publicly backed by Ukrainian oligarch Ilhor, it's L-H-O-R, Kolomisky, who also allegedly funds the Azov, Donbass, Dnepr 1, Dnepr 2, volunteer battalions operating under orders from Kiev. That's where we left off. Now we're into Reuters. Some of Ukraine's private battalions have blackened the country's international reputation with the extremist views. The Azov Battalion, partially funded by Taruta and Kolomensky, uses the Nazi wolf's angel symbol as its logo, and many of its members openly espouse neo-Nazi anti-Semitic views. The battalion members have spoken about bringing the war to Kiev and said that Ukraine needs a strong dictator to come to power who could shed plenty of blood but unite the nation in the process. Now we're into Kolomisky's battalion's shell civilians in Donbass. The Luhansk and Donetsk regions comprise a larger region known together as Donbass. In May 2014, shortly after the Obama administration's maiden coup, the two regions held referendum on seceding from the Ukraine, in which 96% of Luhansk and 89% of Donetsk voted for the creation of two new independent entities in eastern Ukraine. Moscow said the vote reflected the will of the people, but the European Union called the elections illegal and illegitimate, which quickly turned violent and descended into all-out control a conflict between Russia-backed separatists and their forces and the Ukrainian military and pro-government militias. Donbass became the epicenter of a battle for global influence between NATO and Moscow, in which the homes, schools, and offices of innocent civilians were simply collateral damage, and water, electricity, and gas were regularly shut off for the residents who paid the ultimate price. In fact, in America, we're paying the ultimate price because of our president's bad decision, and that has to do with energy and oil and gasoline and electricity, and left us dependent on foreign nations like Russia and Saudi for oil and gas, when we have plenty of oil in our own country that's untouched. So we're not only dependent on foreign nations for oil and gas that is skyrocketing out of control. Yesterday in Western United States on the West Coast, I saw, and I was shocked, the sign that went from $5 now to over $6 a gallon. That's insane. It's totally insane to do this to the American people. It's cruel. These people who are wealthy, they say, don't worry, everything's under control. yeah, under their control, while they're wealthy, they care less because they've been living off the taxpayers for decades. They refuse to retire in America. They refuse to insert term limits in America. They will stay in office, and as they make deals with Ukraine and with Burisma and with Russia and with Saudi and Qatar and Iran and China, they've all become extremely wealthy, and they're either Wall Street New World Order CEOs or else they are investors in these Wall Street corporations, such as Big Pharma. They have made billions of dollars off of COVID, a flu that had a 99.9% recovery rate, and they put America and the world into a hellhole, basically, if you want to know the truth. People in America and probably across Western civilization were locked down, taken hostage in their own homes, told when they could leave or couldn't leave their own homes, told to wear masks inside and outside of their homes, and they were put on curfews, and they were monitored and controlled by people elected to uphold the Constitution, which doesn't include any of the tyrannical, totalitarian, authoritarian dictates that they forced on the American people while families suffered and lost their homes, lost their jobs, millions lost their jobs, and they also lost their businesses, causing low self-esteem, couldn't go visit their relatives in a hospital or in a nursing home, and couldn't find out what they were doing to their own family members because they weren't allowed inside. That means that the government took control of any family member that was in a hospital or a nursing home and denied freedom, liberty, and rights, a free will, and a free choice to the American people for going on 3 years now. And there is no scientific evidence anywhere in any law, any medical journal or medical article or any of their papers that prove that cutting off your oxygen supply and inhaling and exhaling 24/7 as God intended, because he created oxygen, free air, free ventilation, so that your body would remain healthy, because you need fresh air 24/7 and to release toxic carbon monoxide 24/7 in order to live. It's called the breath of life, and God created it, and it's free, and no man or woman should take ventilation, fresh air, oxygen away from you, and then you end up on a ventilator because they refuse to allow the international doctors and scientists who treated COVID for decades, SARS, MERS, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and other treatments they use, vitamin C and zinc and D3 and other treatments that they used in the early stages and stated and declared that they cured the patients with these FDA-approved, safe and effective drugs, prescription drugs, that CDC and Dr. Fauci took off the market, prohibited people from accessing them, and then forced them on their protocol with a prescription drug called remdesivir with direct adverse side effects known to them that are a potential direct adverse side effect to human beings. And the FDA-approved ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine used for 70 years, HCQ, had little or no adverse health effects on human beings. So I would say it's all about the money using human beings in Western civilization to be sterilized so more young people do not procreate, and which is another program they push for depopulation, which is Planned Parenthood. And now they've approved infanticide, which means if you have a baby, you can legally leave the baby on a table at Planned Parenthood and the baby dies. Well, that's just legal murder in America. What mother would do that? I guess there's plenty of them who will leave their baby to die after the baby's born instead of giving the baby up for adoption. Well, depopulating the planet means you will have no sovereign nations. There will be no sovereign nations because you need babies and children to grow up and taught to defend and protect and preserve their constitutions of their countries and liberty, freedom, and rights and sovereignty of their nations and to be leaders in their nations. And there will be no, there will be a depopulation in several sovereign nations in Europe that will no longer exist if this continues because the birth rates are so low because of the abortion pills, the contraceptives, and the abortions during pregnancy, late term, and even after giving birth. Total depopulation program. Same sex indoctrination of children, another depopulation program. Many believe that the jabs are a depopulation program, the experimental and trial COVID jabs, depopulation program. Wars are definitely a depopulation program. Chemicals in the water and the air and the food, depopulation programs that can cause a slew of direct health effects to one's body. So here we are. Here we are in a world that's called the new norm by the New World Order. And it appears that we're in phase three of the United Nations and the Rothschilds lockstep depopulation program. Well, let's get back to how one Ukrainian billionaire funded Hunter Biden, President Volodymyr Zelensky, and the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion. The war in Donbas was continued to this day, killing an estimated 14,000 while tearing eastern Ukraine's Donbas region into shreds. 14,000 people. People that should have lived. People that should have lived by taking early treatments for COVID died. And they were offering financial incentives for every patient that tested positive with their faulty ethylene oxide PCR swabs. And they were also paying doctors or hospitals or nursing homes allegedly $39,000 for recording COVID on birth death certificates. That's like bribes for death certificates. So anyway, Human Rights Watch reported on July 24, 2014, that Ukrainian government forces and pro-government militias had indiscriminately used unguided Grad rockets in populated areas which violated international humanitarian law, the laws of war, and constituted war crimes. While the Ukrainian government officials denied using Grad rockets in Donetsk, and Donetsk is spelled D-O-N-E-T-S-K if you want to look it up on the map, a Human Rights Watch investigation on the ground strongly indicated that Ukrainian government forces were responsible for the attacks, and earlier in the month, Al Jazeera journalists had even filmed Ukrainian forces with Grad rocket launchers on the road to Donetsk, according to this article. Well, Kolomoisky's Azov battalion led the post-coup government's assault on the self-declared republics of Luhansk and Donetsk. A 2014 Amnesty International report accused Kolomoisky's Ada battalion of war crimes in Donbass, specifically citing widespread abuses, including abductions, unlawful detention, ill treatment, theft, extortion, and possible executions. This still reminds me of the 3 years we spent in hell in the United States and Canada, Australia, and Europe with this pandemic. Well, they raked in billions and billions of dollars, all the manufacturers of big pharma and all the investors. People were dying, 40% increase of deaths, especially among young people who died after the jabs were rolled out in 2021. And that was also from stats by group insurance companies who were experiencing claims for serious injuries and deaths after the 2021 jabs were rolled out, which was unprecedented, as well as the morticians also made the same claim and stated that continues, they'll probably go belly up. They can't afford it. So lots of things going on that are similar to this war, such as isolating elderly people and children, which is in America a felony. It's elder abuse and child abuse, but they did it anyway. And they use fear-mongering, coercion, and threat to cause fear in the minds of the people so that they would use their arms, believing that this was a licensed vaccination that would save their lives and they wouldn't get COVID. And that wasn't true. MSM totally stated, and Bill Gates, that you have no choice. You must be vaccinated or you will be isolated, like if you were a leper, and you will not be able to go into a grocery store and buy groceries so you can stay healthy and eat and not be malnourished, or your children. What kind of health care is that? So if the jab doesn't, the experimental and trial injection doesn't kill people, then starvation will. Is that the game? So now what they've done is they've skyrocketed food in America. It is excessively expensive right now. Food and gasoline and electricity and water and gas has all been skyrocketed. Well, they printed trillions and trillions of dollars under the Obama-Biden regime and the Democrats in 2009, and then again in 2020, and now again 1.5 trillion in 2022. When will they run out of ink, and when is the printing machine going to break down? And when will the bubble finally burst? These are the questions on the real people's minds. And now people don't even want to go to work. They don't even want to go back to work after having stayed home for 2 years and receiving checks from the government. they are now offering bonuses to ask to have people come to work. That is totally insane. This is the total opposite of what America was built upon, how it was built, and how we created such a strong economy, including small businesses and small businesses who actually create 85% of the jobs for Americans. They destroyed thousands of them across America. Thousands of small business owners saw their American dream turn into an American nightmare. So there's all kinds of wars going on, not just in Ukraine and not just with Russia, Putin threatening to push the red button. So what's going to happen? They nuke everything. Everybody dies and you live in a world of what? Devastation, of ashes, war zones, where you can't even breathe fresh air, drink clean water. You think that going underground is going to save you? What happens if the ground caves in? So sci-fi, it's unbelievable. In October of 2014, Human Rights Watch reported that Ukrainian government forces and pro-government militias were responsible for the widespread use of cluster munitions in populated in Donetsk city. It is shocking to see a weapon that most countries have banned used so extensively in eastern Ukraine, said Mark Hisney, senior arms researcher at Human Rights Watch. Ukrainian authorities should make an immediate commitment not to use cluster munitions and join the treaty to ban them. This is not to say that both sides are not guilty of war crimes, as Russian-backed separatists were also accused of using unguided rockets, shooting down civilian planes, and both sides have been accused of numerous war crimes. The Minsk II agreement in 2015 ended the worst fighting and set up a buffer zone around the breakaway republics, but the deadly civil war has continued to drag on in the region until this day. Heavy weapons were banned by the Minsk agreements, but were still frequently used and to devastating effects. But let's not forget Russia. Children's schools in Donetsk have been hit so many times by indiscriminate shelling that basements are set up as makeshift bomb shelters and windows and piled high with sandbags. Donbas has also become one of the most landmine contaminated places on earth, putting more than 220,000 children at risk. This is insane. This is inhumane. This is insane. It was unnecessary. Today we should be able to talk to each other. You can talk on the computer face-to-face. You can talk on the phone face-to-face. You can do Zoom meetings. You don't even have to fly anywhere. You can talk on the phone. You can text. You can email. There are so many ways to communicate today to resolve problems rather than kill people and create more refugees and kill more children. And as I said, without babies and children, there will be no sovereign nations, because you need babies and children to grow up and to defend and protect and preserve their nation, their civilization, their culture, their way of life, their laws, their civilization, way of life, and foods and clothing and freedoms and liberties in Western civilization versus communism in third world nations, where people have no freedom. Not even in China can you even think, because in China you can be accused of a thought crime, which AI is trying here in the USA as well. They're trying it everywhere. God gave us a mind to think with, not just the New World Order billionaires who apparently don't like 90% of the population. So that's their thoughts. Anyway, it goes on to say, I'm reading from How One, and some of it is my own insertions, How One Ukrainian Billionaire Funded Hunter Biden, President Volodymyr Zelensky, and the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion. So we have 220,000 children at risk during this war. The shelling doesn't have a child's psyche unscathed. Children are traumatized. They are terrified. So this is child abuse. There are children who become very emotional. They pour their feelings out, said Lerna Moram, the principal of Krasnohorivka, K-R-A-S, Krasnohorivka, H-O-R-I-V-K-A, school. America is very, our words are much more simpler and shorter, which is hit by a direct strike. So the shelling, get that, doesn't leave a child's psyche unscathed. Children are traumatized. They are terrified. There are children who become very emotional. They pour their feelings out, says the principal of the school, which is hit by a direct strike. Anyone would be terrified, but especially the children. And that is child abuse. On the other side, there are children who keep this pain inside. It's very sad to see children who should be having a happy childhood suffer because of the war. Hunter Biden's laptop talks about children burned alive in Donetsk. The nonprofit research group Marco Polo, which is doing a comprehensive report on Hunter Biden's laptop, made the connection between Hunter Biden's text messages and Kolomoisky's massacres in eastern Ukraine. Text messages found on Hunter Biden's laptop show Hunter Biden asking Hallie Biden, his brother's widow, and his mistress, if she believed that he had children burned alive in Donetsk or children killed in Donetsk, Ukraine. Most likely in reference to Kolomoisky, his reported Burisma Holdings boss, Hunter's boss, who was also funding the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion that were accused of war crimes and the shelling of civilians, Ukraine. In 2018, Congress banned U.S. arms from going to the Ukrainian AZ battalion, which used neo-Nazi insignia, openly accepted neo-Nazis into its ranks, and has been accused of ISIS-style war crimes, including beheadings. Now, in America, the Democrats and the rhinos want to take away our Second Amendment, which says it shall stay in place. It doesn't say may or can or will. It says shall. And when it says shall, S-H-A-L-L, it means they cannot revoke the Second Amendment because then they are in violation of their own sworn oath. And these billionaires live behind walls. They live in mansions and on secured private islands, and they have walls built around their mansions, and they have security, even live security, armed. So they're willing to protect their families and themselves should a foreign enemy nation attack America or Canada or Europe, other countries besides the Ukraine, and so forth, but they don't want American citizens to be able to defend themselves. We all know what happens when a country is disarmed. It is turns into a communist Marxist nation where people have no freedom, no liberty, no rights, and they're enslaved to the government, and they no longer can say whatever they want. They can no longer think whatever they want. I don't know how you do that, but they have the thought police there. And they have arrested people who are accused of thought crimes. The New World Order, artificial intelligence. Bottom line is, it's all artificial. There's a God. You don't have to believe me. There is a God. And he is the God of the universe. And he is the God who instructed humanity to follow the Ten Commandments. And thou shalt not kill is a very clear commandment. But you can defend yourself or your family and your property, at least in America, the last refuge of freedom. And they are attempting to take away our freedom, our liberties, our rights, and our sovereignty by flooding our nation with unidentified millions of third world countries who the Democrats and rhinos invite and fly into our country in violation of their sworn oath, in violation of legal immigration, legal citizenship, legal vetting by ICE, TSA, Border Patrol, sheriffs, and police. And they are the ones who supported the real insurrection in America during the pandemic, where Antifa and BLM, funded by the New World Order nonprofit organizations, founded by New World Order leaders, members, billionaires, funded the defund the police. So these people don't even pay taxes. They have so many loopholes. That's how they keep their billions. And then they use our taxes for their evil, sinister agenda. Like, for example, Planned Parenthood. These billionaires support Planned Parenthood 100%, 110%. They support abortion pills and contraceptives. They're all linked to Big Pharma for big profits. That's a depopulation program. And inserted under Obama-Biden regime, even prior to Obama and Biden becoming president and vice president, along with Hillary Clinton, Dianne Feinstein, John Kerry, CFR, and maybe other Democrats, who around December of 2007 decided that the American people should fund abortions worldwide, especially third world countries like Africa and India, because they have billions of people. And so this was the goal, to insert into Obamacare this death panel for babies and around the world, and require the American people, the taxpayers, to pay for worldwide abortions, not just in America, worldwide, to reduce the population, especially in Africa and India. And they didn't mention the Middle East or China, probably because they work with them. The oils in Saudi Arabia, Iran is threatening America constantly. And then you got Russia. Didn't mention Russia either. And then you have China, who Wall Street has become partners with, and China and Wall Street work together, and they have outsourced, which really should have been espionage, in my opinion, but they called it globalism and outsourcing, and convinced the American people under the Clinton administration that this was a wonderful idea to violate our international waters and violate our sovereignty and outsource our intellectual property and our manufacturing companies and our jobs to a foreign enemy nation who committed genocide against their own citizens, and where there are human rights violations and no freedom, liberty, or rights. I don't know how the American people went along with that. Maybe because he is good looking, he had a nice smile, nice wave, looked like the all-American couple, and they ignored the Clinton Chronicles. So there you go. So onward and forward with how one Ukrainian billionaire funded Hunter Biden, President Volodymyr Zelensky, and the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion. Most likely in reference to Kolomoisky, his reported Burisma Holdings boss, which they're talking about Hunter Biden, who was also funding the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion, were accused of war crimes and the shelling of civilians in eastern Ukraine. In 2018, Congress banned U.S. arms from going to the Ukrainian Azov Battalion, which used neo-Nazi insignia, openly accepted neo-Nazis into its ranks, and had been accused of ISIS-style war crimes, including beheadings. Wanted to repeat that because that is very serious. They're beheading people, just like ISIS does, and the terrorist organizations. Talk about crimes against humanity. Goes on to say, quote, white supremacy and neo-Nazism are unacceptable and have no place in our world. Representative Ro Khanna, Democrat from California, an outspoken critic of providing lethal aid to Ukraine, said in a statement to The Hill on Tuesday, quote, I am very pleased that the recently passed omnibus prevents the United States from providing arms and training assistance to the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion fighting in the Ukraine. In 2016, Kolomoisky's private bank collapsed amid accusations of embezzlement and fraud. The bank failure cost the Ukrainian government and by extension the American and European taxpayers who popped it up with aid funds about $5.5 billion in a bailout. In 2020, the Justice Department moved to seize Kolomoisky's U.S. properties after accusing the oligarch of embezzling and defrauding billions of dollars from the private bank and laundering it into American properties, including a steel plant in Kentucky, a commercial high-rise in Cleveland, and a Motorola manufacturing plant in Illinois. In March 2021, the Biden administration barred Kolomoisky and members of his family from traveling to the United States because of involvement in significant acts of corruption. It is highly unlikely Kolomoisky would have returned to the United States considering the Justice Department had already begun seizing his properties this year, and he had reportedly been traveling between Switzerland, Israel, and Ukraine in fear of being extradited to the United States. That writer says, as I'm writing this, U.S. Congress is approving another $14 billion in aid for Ukraine that will undoubtedly be funneled into the family members of corrupt U.S. and Ukrainian politicians' bank accounts and oligarchs' offshore financial entities before making its way to the neo-Nazi battalion Congress banned from receiving U.S. arms in 2018. Do the people pushing so hard for war with Russia know about the children burned alive in Donetsk? Do they know that we are arming neo-Nazi battalions who who have been shooting rockets and dropping cluster bombs on children in Donbass for the last 8 years. Now, I don't know how factual this article is, but it's very serious, and it needs to be read, and it needs to be researched, and it needs to be known. And what is actually happening, we need to know both sides of the story. So we need to hear this side, and then we need to hear other sides of the story so that we can come to our own informed decisions, because this is very serious. Children are at risk. Children are dying. And when human beings are dying and families are being broken up and someone's got their finger on the nuke, we need to hear all sides of the story. And so now it's your turn to check out this article, and may God intervene in this world of evil that is happening around the world, and the sinister pre-planned pandemics and wars and babies being killed and called legal around the world, and Americans being forced to pick up the tab for something they believe is immoral and unconstitutional, and yet the justices apparently are fine with it. So remember, without babies, we don't have sovereign countries. We have no one to grow up and preserve, protect, and defend the sovereignty on the Constitution of this great nation, this great republic. We don't have babies and children who will grow up to be leaders to protect, defend our great United States of America, our freedom, liberties, and rights. We need babies. We need children. And so do other sovereign nations. Children should not be in a position where their schools are being bombed, their hospitals are being bombed, their parents are being killed, and then there's these crazy people who have billions of dollars in titles with their finger on the red button. God bless you. Pray for America. Pray for the world, and pray for world peace. Remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember, you're never alone when you listen to Colombo Chronicles Live.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.